You are listening to Arise, Actualize Your Spiritual Potential, Lessons from the Bhagavad Gita. Part 9, The Divine Promise.
Today is the conclusion in the Arise series, Inspiration Drawn from the Bhagavad Gita. And there is in the 18th chapter, to some extent, what we would expect, a little review of the teachings that were offered in the first 17 chapters. But there's also a turn that takes place in this chapter, a beautiful turn in this conclusion of the teaching, which really offers a beginning, an invitation to a new life for Arjuna, the seeking soul, and really for each one of us who would listen and who would learn and take the chance on living in a new way. I want to open with a poem by Rumi about living in this new way. Here he shares about it as two kinds of intelligence. This is from The Essential Rumi, translated by Coleman Barks. There are two kinds of intelligence, one acquired. As a child in school memorizes facts and concepts from books and from what the teacher says, collecting information from the traditional sciences as well as from the new sciences. With such intelligence, you rise in the world. You get ranked ahead or behind others in regard to your competence in retaining information. You stroll with this intelligence in and out of fields of knowledge, getting always more marks on your preserving tablets. But there is another kind of intelligence, another kind of tablet, one already completed and preserved inside of you. A spring overflowing its spring box, a freshness in the center of the chest. This other intelligence does not turn yellow or stagnate. It's fluid, and it doesn't move from outside to inside through the conduits of plumbing learning. This second knowing is a fountainhead within you moving out. This second kind of intelligence is a fountainhead within you that is fluid moving out. So as we began this teaching on the Gita, we remember that the story begins with Arjuna, the seeking soul, caught in his self-will and his confusion. And it concludes with him embracing a new life through surrender to God. We see in his journey a transformation of his relationship with the infinite. When we come to this conclusion that is about Arjuna experiencing surrender to God, I have to say that this surrender to God is not surrender to God far off, not surrender to God in the heavens, but surrender to the indwelling God, the Lord within, God as his own self, God as friend, the inner light, the constant companion, God that is nearer than the jugular vein, the Lord of love seated in every heart. This is not the God of your parents. It is not the God of the church. It is not the God of the temple or the mosque. It is not the book God. It is not his idea of God. But it is the immanent, living God, God in the midst of his own self. Arjuna has awakened to the truth of his own existence, the essential self, the I that is the I am. He's awakened to this, and he's about to make a leap, a life-transforming change to living by this second kind of intelligence. There's a wonderful story that the Sufis tell about a stream. This is a stream that has been traveling all its life from the mountains through the valleys across all the lands. And it comes to a point where it doesn't know how to get any farther. This stream reaches the sands. It reaches the desert. And it knows intuitively that it is its destiny to cross this desert. But every time it tries to cross the desert, it only sinks down and becomes lost. And so there is this conflict of knowing this is what is to be done without knowing how it can happen. And in the silence, the stream hears the teaching. The wind crosses the desert, and so can the stream. The stream objects that it's been dashing itself against the sand and getting nowhere, and that the wind could fly. That's why it's easy for the wind. The teaching comes back that by hurling yourself against the sand in your accustomed way, by hurling yourself against the sand in your accustomed way, you will not find the way across. The teaching is given, the way across is to let the wind carry you. The stream says, "This is unacceptable to me. What if I lose myself?" There's an explanation that the wind will lift you up, carry you across the sands, and after you cross the desert, you will be released as rain and once again become the stream. The stream says, "Yeah, but I'd like to get across, but can I stay the way that I am? I'm not sure if I take the journey in this way that I'll be able to stay the way I am." The teaching comes back, "You won't. No matter what, you won't be able to stay the way that you are." And then the highest teaching comes that the difficulty the stream is experiencing is actually because the stream doesn't know what it is, doesn't know the truth of its essential nature that can make this journey of transformation. We see in the teaching in the Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna, the seeking soul, has come upon the desert in the beginning. He's face to face with his own destiny. He has to make this crossing. And even though he's been prepared as a warrior, he's not prepared for this battle that he's facing. Why is that? Because this battle, he's going to have to fight his own relatives. Now we say, that's familiar, right? But these relatives are Arjuna's habits. These relatives are his conditioned patterns. These relatives are his first kind of intelligence. These relatives are all of the coping mechanisms that he has gathered. These relatives are the way that he figures out, he calculates. He's going to have to go back to battle with that. Part of the conditioned way of seeing that he has to go to battle with is his own idea of what God is. It's interesting in the story that Krishna, who represents the higher true self, who represents God, is there from the very beginning as Arjuna's companion. But Arjuna does not recognize him. God is in his midst. God is supporting him. God is guiding him. But he doesn't recognize this. So is this a familiar story? God is right where he is, but he doesn't see it. Doesn't recognize him because he doesn't recognize his own self. Just like the stream, at this point in the beginning of the story, he doesn't know his own essential nature. And so it is with us. Even though God is right where we are, we don't recognize God because we don't know ourselves. We think we're separate from God, and so we're looking for God out there, and we cannot see God in our own midst. We cannot see God with us. Arjuna is at a crisis point, and at this crisis point, he does four things. The first thing that Arjuna does is he becomes silent. He stops. He stops his calculation. He's at this impasse where he doesn't know. He stops. He becomes silent. The second thing he does is he turns to God, to his higher self. In the story, this is Krishna. Third thing he does is he asks for guidance. He asks to be guided. And the fourth, really important, he listens. After he asks, he listens. Because in human nature, many of us ask for higher truth, for guidance, and then we say what we think. From the first kind of intelligence, from our calculating way. The fourth step is that Arjuna listens. Consider the teachings of Jesus when he says, stop calculating. Not a direct quote. Stop calculating. Don't worry about what you're going to drink, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to say, what you're going to do. Don't worry about that. Stop calculating. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the awareness of the presence of God as your life. Seek entry into the kingdom of truth consciousness, and then seek to know God's righteousness, God's way, the way of illumined living based on that truth. And then all that you need will be given to you in time, moment by conscious moment. When Arjuna asks like that, the lessons begin. And the first lesson that he's given is the teaching about self and God realization. He's told, you are yourself what you are looking for. You are spirit eternal. You are not the body and the mind that perishes, but you are the light that illumines the body and the mind. That is what you are. And then there were many lessons that follow, taking us to the crescendo in the 11th chapter of the Gita, where Arjuna has a vision of God and he sees the whole manifestation of the world coming from the Godhead, and he experiences the reality of God. The chapters following that are about integrating what he's seen and what he knows, how to live in the world, how to understand the qualities that make up nature. When we come to the concluding chapter where we are today, like the first chapter, it begins again with an inquiry. Only this time, because Arjuna now knows that God is his life, it's a different kind of inquiry. He wants to know about the essence of renunciation and the essence of surrender. Let's think about this for a moment. He's found the way. He's found the path. He has had a direct experience of God, of truth consciousness. He knows there's a power for good that runs the universe. He knows that. He's not confused about that. What he now wants to know is the second part of that quote. We say there's a power for good that runs this universe, and we can learn to cooperate with it, right? He knows there's a power for good that runs this universe, and now he's asking, how can I cooperate with it? Now I need to know, how do I live? Do I need to renounce all that I've been doing all my life? Isn't this true when we come to the spiritual path and we have this opening about God in and through and as our life? All of a sudden we question our whole life. We do. We question. We say, wait a minute, I need to change everything, right? We say, do I need to renounce all I've been doing? Do I need to quit my job? Do I need to get rid of my partner who's not on the same path? Do I need to get out of the bowling league? Do I need to journey to India or Jerusalem? Do I need to find my way to a monastery, get online, we start looking around? Do I need to enroll in the seminary? How shall I live now that I know God is my life? What is truly important? What should be my go-to for taking care of business now? How do I act? How do I solve the problems that confront me each day? We have a reading about that today in our lesson. Quote from Joel Goldsmith. Different kind of going to, a way in which we access that second kind of intelligence, the fountain head within us. Let's read it together. Remember, in this idea of leading the spiritual life, we are not dependent on person, place, or thing by outer contact, but we are dependent on our inner contact with God. Gain the conscious realization of the presence and power of God within your own being. Regardless of the name or nature of the problem or need, don't try to solve it as that. Go within until you actually find that place within your being which gives you the God response, and then you solve your problems. The Gita, in this last chapter on this how to find our way to the fountainhead and live from it, says that renunciation is key, but it is not renunciation of action. We don't withdraw from the world, but we learn to live in the world in a new way. So it is not action that we renounce, but it is our attachment to the fruits of our action. It is our calculation that we renounce. It is our attachment to wanting things to turn out a certain way. It is our looking for love, looking for acknowledgement, looking for appreciation, looking for self-esteem through what we do. It says, let go of that. Let go of that. Release that attachment to outcomes, because when you release that, you release yourself. So I want you to think about this morning. I want you to think about something that you're engaged in, some work, something that you do that's very important to you. And I want you to feel it in your body, how you engage in that. And if you haven't already, I want you to envision and to imagine and to feel what it would feel like to just be doing this for your love of doing it and letting go of any outcome, letting go of any attachment to any particular result. You do it for the joy of doing it. You do it as your worship. You do it as your offering to God. And you let go of any holding on to what you think should come to you as a result. Now, notice what that feels like in your body when you let that part go, the calculating part that's planning what you're going to get. What does it feel like? Does it feel free? I think it does. It feels free when we let go of that calculating part of holding on to some outcome. When we let that go, what happens is we come into the presence of wholeness itself. You see, we get attached to outcomes because we're trying to make ourselves something. We're trying to make ourselves secure. We're trying to make ourselves happy. We're trying to make ourselves loved. But if we can let go of that, we get to experience that we are already loved. We are already whole. We are already complete. This is the radical teaching with which the Gita concludes. So let's go there. Let's take a look at the scripture. I'm going to start with verse 63. Now, in this reading, you're going to hear this radical teaching of liberation, because we hear Krishna saying, I have given you this teaching. Have you heard it? Now, do as you will. Choice is yours. All right, let's hear it. Let's start with 63 over here. So let's begin together. I have given you words of vision and wisdom more secret than hidden mysteries. Ponder them in the silence of your soul, and then in freedom, do as you will. Hear again my supreme word, most secret of all. You are dearly loved by me. Therefore, I will speak for your good. Meditating on me, being devoted to me, making holy offerings to me, surrendering to me, in this way you will truly come to me, I promise you, for you are dear to me. Abandoning all duties, take refuge in me alone. I will liberate you from all misfortune. Do not grieve. Have you heard these words, Arjuna, in the silent communion of your soul? Has the darkness of your delusion been dispelled by your inner light? By your grace, I remember my light, and now gone is my delusion. My doubts are no more. My faith is firm. And now I can say, thy will be done. This dialogue, where we come to at the conclusion, this radical theology, where Krishna says to Arjuna, I'm talking to you. I've been talking to you in the silence of your soul. I'm talking to you. Are you listening? Have you heard? Now, I do want to clarify, this is the emanation of inner wisdom. It is the inner knowing. It is the still, small voice of conscience, of truth, of light within us. And this conversation is going on all the time. And here we have this beautiful teaching of Krishna saying, I've been talking to you. I'm here. I'm the one who knows you, who sees all, who loves you unconditionally, desires your highest good, your prospering, your well-being. That is my will for you. I've been talking to you. Have you taken the time to listen in the silence of your soul? Have you taken the time? Have you heard me? Then consider what I have revealed to you and make your choice. And in case you missed it, hear again my supreme word for you. You are love. You are loved. It could say, you are whole. You are love. And you are love. If you let your mind be illumined by this love, by this presence, you will discover that you are guided in the path of right action in all that you do, moment to conscious moment. This inner revelation says, I am you. I am your essential self. You can never be lost from me. I am intent on your good because I look after myself. I can't lose you. I am you. And I conspire to support you. I am interested in your highest good. And part of that interest in your highest good is leaving the door open for you to choose. It is your freedom now. And in every moment, you are loved. You are love. And it is yours to choose the way of love and the way of freedom, to let go of the calculating self and come into the presence of love that you are. Let's conclude with the reading of the affirmation today. I'll say it first and then we'll say it together. It's the affirmation of our freedom and choosing the highest good. So get your mind ready, get your heart ready, get your body ready to participate in affirming this. I am free to choose the highest good, and I do. I am free to choose the highest good, and I do. My discernment is keen, my thoughts are well ordered, and my intuition is awakened. My discernment is keen, my thoughts are well ordered, and my intuition is awakened. I am guided by the inner light of truth. I am guided by the inner light of truth. I surrender any sense of being separate from the source of all good, and I live in love. I surrender any sense of being separate from the source of all good, and I live in love. Amen.
The Center for Spiritual Enlightenment is a ministry in the spiritual tradition of Kriya Yoga that offers a time-tested method for self and God realization for people from all religious backgrounds. The CSE ministry is dedicated to spiritual awakening by fostering the presence of peace in our community, in the world, and in the hearts of individuals. For more information about CSE or to inquire about Reverend O'Brien's speaking schedule or publications, visit our website at www.csecenter.org or call 408-283-0221 or write to the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment, 1146 University Avenue, San Jose, California, 95126. Gratitude to Chi Chen for music from her CD, One Cello, One World, courtesy of Urban Chi Music.